Goeiemôre julle. Dis lekker om julle weer te sien. Dankie vir die gesindheid van die hart waarin jy in die koninkryk van God saai finansiëel gewys tussen. Ons en voorreg dat ons saam die koninkryk van God kan bou. Groet mekaar vriendelik met daai faas reg rondom asseblief. Maak seker julle doen dit. Everybody hi. Nou toe die mense wat die eerste keer kom besoek hier so al hand opgesteek het, is my rug vir julle. Ek wil net sien die first time visitors wat eerste keer in die gemeente is, steek op julle hande asseblief. Baie baie welkom. Hoop julle voel tuis hier so. So nie, get over it. I just want to make sure I have all the mothers received a little gift. All the mothers and the married ladies. Excellent. Great. Thank you very much. Before we carry on with our sermon series, just to I want to encourage you, please. Next week, Saturday, we're going to do evangelism in the estate here. I understand for some folks it might be a daunting thing because you think you're too shy or you don't know what to say, you don't know enough of the Bible. I want to encourage you, it's going to be an awesome, awesome experience. If you've never done something like that, I want to encourage you, please come. You are actually going to be sent out as lambs amongst wolves. But the good shepherd will be with you. And hy sal seker maak niks gaan jou oorkom nie. Okay. What we're going to do is, if you're a little bit, you have some reservations or shy or whatever, that's good. Because it's not you who's going to be doing the speaking. It's going to be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Now, you don't have to go there with a full theological degree or no chapter and verse and gospel presentations. It's good to know all of that stuff. But it's going to simply be a practical exercise where the message that we get across to the people is the following. Hi, my name is Mozzie. We like him so far. No, you don't do that. You just say, hi, I'm so-and-so. We're from Real Life Ministries, the church within your state. We want to know, is there anything that we can pray for you and your family? That's all. We're coming with an attitude to serve. Ons gaan nie uit om nuwe lidmate te kweek vir die gemeente, because it's about the kingdom of God. Jesus served. That's why it's such appeal to people. So that's going to be the heart and the attitude with which we go to people. If the Holy Spirit opens up a door for you to minister, excellent, by all means, do so. But the idea is, hi, please come join our church. No, just say, hi, I'm so-and-so. We are from Real Life Ministries, the church in the state. Is there anything that we can pray for you and your family? No, get off my property. God bless you. Have a nice day. If they say no, say, well, bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye. And then you go on to the next house. So I want to encourage you, please. We're going to send you out 2x2. Please come. From 3 o'clock, we're going to get together here. Just brief everybody again. Pray over everybody. And then do what the Lord has sent us to do. He said, go and make disciples. Okay, so it's about, because some people, they know that there's a church. Some folks in the residence, obviously, for years, go to their own churches. Some folks don't. So that's going to be the focus of the day. So please consider it prayerfully and come and join us on that day. Amen. We're going to continue with Revelations. We're going to look at the book, chapter 13 today. And then at the end of the service, as per usual, we're going to pray for our upcoming elections. But it's in our journey through this interesting book, we're at the point where we now get introduced to the Antichrist. Ooh. The Antichrist and the false prophet. And also the mark of the beast. Movies have been made about this, and there's all sorts of theories and stuff out there. We're not interested in theories. We're interested in what the scripture has to say about this. Can you say amen? All right. So let's, as per usual, we're going to read the chapter, the 18 verses, and then unpack it, focusing on a few words as we get through this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather together to celebrate you this morning. Dankie vir die voorreg wat ons het om die bymekaarkoms van die gelowiges te kan geniet. Where two or more gather in your name, you're there in the midst of them, Lord God. And we honor you here this morning. We thank you for your blessing upon us, Lord. We're not here to hear a sermon. We're not here to hear a pastor's message. We're here to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to each one of us, that you take the context of this and make it applicable to where we are at in our lives. Where there's a misunderstanding, would you bring clarity, Lord God? Where there's confusion, would you bring peace, because you're the author of peace. and not the author of confusion. Lord, all of us, and myself especially, submit myself to your lordship this morning, and I ask God, move beyond the limitations of my speech and give to each one of us what we need to hear from your heart, our Father, this morning, in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. We're at the stage in Revelation where John is starting to see images now, which is signs. He's seeing signs which represent something else. We saw that the focus up to now was where John was clearly explained things the way they are. Now he's at the stage where he's seeing signs in heaven and with different interpretations and different meanings, and we look at that. And what I want to encourage you with this morning, we must test all the spirits. 1 John 4:1 says, test all the spirits. So please, don't just take it for granted. Well, Mozi het so gesê, so dit moet die geval wees. Go and research it yourself in the scriptures. At the end of the day, you don't want my voice echoing in your ears. Can you say amen? You want the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit, giving you a deep interpretation and meaning of the scriptures. But having said that, everything that we share, that we have been sharing through the series, is scriptural, backed with scripture references after scripture references, to see that it's not a doctrine of this church. It's not my pet theology. It's not something that we've sucked out of our thumbs. It's straight from the scriptures. And when we get to interpretations in the scripture, remember we said this when it comes to Revelation, even in the body of Christ, where people really are completely sold out to the Lord and love Jesus, daar verskil van mening as it kom by interpretation of certain things in the scripture. Do you understand what we're saying, church? It's not a heaven or hell thing. Just understand that there are differences in opinion in the body of Christ. And so what is the truth? The Holy Spirit will lead us to the truth concerning things like that. So don't vang a glei because the interpretation is different to yours. And say, well, get all like bent out of shape and paar duike en besluit jy nee, dis nie vir jou nie. Just understand that even the most, daar's mense wat baie, baie, baie slimmer is as wat ek is. Wat verskil, en ek verskil met hulle en hulle met my en vice versa. And there's disagreements concerning certain things. But at the end of the day, the fundamental principles and doctrinal foundations of our faith remain the same. We believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Jesus died, shed his blood for our sins, rose again from the grave, and that eternal life is based on faith in Jesus and repentance of our sins. Nie lidmaatskap van 'n gemeente. Having said all of that, the book of Revelation is very relevant. It's very pertinent to where we are at today and is important for us. And when we get into descriptions in the beast, I'm going to ask this question. As the Lord asks us this question, okay, but that's fantastic, Mozzie, but why? What is this all about? And this morning, we're going to learn what that's about. That's my wonderful introduction. That was for free. You didn't have to pay for that. That's just mahala. Chapter 13, verse 1, of the book of Revelation. These teachings I'm doing from the New King James Version. It reads as follows. And then I stood on the sand of the sea. Was I op vakantie? Nee. But I've just come back from there, and it's wonderful. I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, I'm a picture person. Now, already my mind is wondering, like, what did this thing look like? And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. And then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Verse 7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Those who have ears, hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he who kills with the sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, as if there isn't enough already. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Wow, what a mouthful. What an interesting piece of scripture. I don't encourage you to see the movie. It's like kind of silly, but I think it was called, I don't even remember the name of the movie, but I remember seeing it about this kid that was like seriously naughty, beyond naughty, and all sorts of bad things happened around this kid. And then somebody thought, well, this must be the devil's child. And then he goes and scratches in his head and he finds the mark 666 on his head. And I remember it rattled my cage. And then at the end of the movie, I think they put the scripture verse up. I remember looking it up in the scriptures for the first time. This is before I was born again. I'm like, whew, this is like serious. This is in the Bible, you know. So much has been said about this. But this morning, we're going to have the peace and comfort that the scriptures give us because it's in the scripture. First of all, this beast. So the beast in Revelation is symbolic of four things. Last week, we spoke and said there's three. This time, there's a fourth thing that's referenced here. Just to recap your memory, we've discussed this in previous chapters. Number one, in Revelation, represents the Antichrist, the false prophet, a demonic spirit from the abyss or the bottomless pit. And in this case, it's the spirit behind various ungodly nations or kingdoms from Adam to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and particularly the spirit behind the ruling government during the tribulation. We've also said that some scriptures refer to all three, and some scriptures refer to only one of the beast. In this instance, in Revelation, the beast is the Antichrist himself. So here where it says, I stood in the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, which you can explain. In this case here, it is the person of the Antichrist. It is a human being. It is not some spirit. It's not some demon out of hell or whatever. It is the person of the Antichrist. Okay. All right. Then the sea. This refers to multitudes of people in symbolic passages. Where do we get that from? There's other references in Scripture where it gives us this idea. In this case, Revelation 17 and verse 15. And here it refers to the Gentile nations, like the sea and a multitude of peoples. There are other passages in Scripture where multitudes of peoples refers to a sea. And this is what the Apostle John saw. And now in this case here, it's possible that John saw the Mediterranean Sea. Why do we say that? Because under the reign of Antichrist, the Mediterranean Sea will be surrounded by the nations that will be under his rule. But the gist of it, the apostle sees a sea. And out of the sea, he sees a beast rise. The sea refers, in this case, in symbolic passages, refers to multitudes of people. Can you see how, when you see how Scripture explains Scripture, how easy the book of Revelation is to understand? It does take some study. It does take some learning. It takes effort. It takes a hunger and a desire on your part to discover it, but it can be understood. It's not some mysterious thing or mysterious book that is just left because it's got too much imagery and things we cannot understand. It is clearly explained by Scripture. And when, folks, that's why it's, when you, let's say, let me give you a practical example here. If you're really, really, really hungry, I mean, you're really hungry, think of your favorite dish. Not everything that's on the table, just your favorite dish. You're really, really hungry. When you start getting stuck into that 800 gram or 1 kilogram T-bone or whatever it is, or your whatever floats your boat, and you're really, really hungry, do you stop eating one third of the way when you're hungry and say, well, that's it, I'm just going to leave the rest? And you know, like this Leviathan inside you is saying, like, feed me, feed me. Gaan hierdie rest van die kos net so wegstoot? Hoekom doen ons dit dan so met die skrif? Die lewende woord van God. So what I'm saying is, read the whole Bible. Genesis to maps. See, in the Old Testament, it's the New Testament concealed. And in the New Testament, it's the Old Testament revealed. See the silver thread of the person of Jesus Christ right throughout Scripture. The overall theme of the Bible, that God's mercy triumphs over judgment. For those of you that have recently done LTS, you'll know. That's the overall theme. And this God of mercy. See that. And when you see that, you'll see, ah, those other scriptures enable us to understand the book of Revelation clearly. That's my encouragement to you. Okay, so we've done the sea, we've done the beast. Then the seven heads. We've looked at this in other chapters of Revelation. These represent the different kingdoms and or governments, countries, whatever you want to call it, that will be under the Antichrist's rule. We see that in Revelation 17, verse 9 to 12. It gives us clarity of that. And then, so seven heads and then ten horns. These are empires or governments or systems of rulership that will rise up from within what most Bible scholars believe to be the revived Roman Empire. So the physical location of the Roman Empire then, these governments are going to come into power under the rule and reign of the Antichrist. So we see the seven heads representing authority, and then the crowns, the leadership, and then the ten horns that are going to come up from within them. The scripture references, once again, Revelation 17, which we haven't got to yet, verse 9 to 12 gives us evidence of that. Then we speak about descriptions, a leopard, bear, lion. What's interesting, if you see the prophecies and the imagery in Daniel, Daniel describes the order of the animals which he sees in one order because it's of the future taking place. John's revelation is those animals in reverse order because it's something that has taken place, as he describes what has happened in terms of the reign and rule of the Antichrist. You say, well, why is it back to front? It's not back to front. Daniel's perspective was that which is to come. John's perspective, he gets shown now the things that will be, that would have happened under the Antichrist's reign. A leopard, symbolic of the Grecian Empire. How do you know that, Moz? Daniel chapter 7 and verse 6. I'm just giving you the scripture reference. The bear is symbolic of Medo-Persia. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 5. And then the lion is symbolic of Babylon. So there we see the animal descriptions there. He sees these beasts that look like this, this beast that looks like this, and that is why representing these different empires. Then it says, the dragon gave him power. If you paid attention in our previous teachings from Revelation, who or what is the dragon? Satan himself. Clearly, Bible clearly tells us that. We see that in Revelations when we looked at chapter 12 and verse 9, Satan, the devil, Satan. The dragon gave him his power. It's interesting to note that the Antichrist, this person, receives his power directly from Satan. Directly from Satan. Now, demonic possession, satanic influence, is exactly the same like Holy Spirit influence in the following sense. No demon, no spirit, no chucha from hell, not Satan himself, not even God will force himself upon any individual. So we make a joke about, die speedkop trek die ou af wat te vinnig gery het. He wants to give him a performance award. I don't need this performance award. I know exactly how fast my motorcycle goes. Ek trek hom af en die ou sê, the voices made me do it, officer. You know, shift the blame, or the devil made me do it. No, the devil doesn't make anybody do anything. The Holy Spirit doesn't make anybody do anything. God doesn't make anybody do anything. It takes, dit vat 'n gewillige mens. Iemand wat as gevolg van iets in hulle gees, waar beslissing maak met hulle intelligentie, hulle wil, en dan doen hulle dan iets. Do you get that? So you got to understand here that this Antichrist cooperates with the influence of Satan completely. It's like that. Remember we said this, I don't know how many weeks ago. We, all of us right now, we have as much of God in our lives as what we want. We have as much of God in our lives as what we want. We allow how much of the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as what we want. Dit moet vir ons 'n ontnugterende gedagte wees. It's like, wow, Lord, I can hunger more for you. But the encouragement to you is it's not something that you have to churn up or you have to do or you must like, I must be a better Christian. Moet nie te hard druk nie, something gaan gebeur. Philippians 2 and verse 13 says, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So that's the encouragement. And Psalm 65 gives a similar teaching on that, and another passage of scripture from Hebrews as well. It's God who works in you. So if you're willing, you let God will do incredible things in your life, folks. But here it's important to understand that this Antichrist, he gives his complete cooperation to Satan. So that's why you can get things like demonic harassment and demonic oppression, which is different to like being actually possessed. You can be under the influence of an harassing, oppressive spirit that's from the devil. So we see the Antichrist gets his power directly from Satan. Then it says, I saw one of his heads representing authority. One of his heads, as if it had been mortally wounded. I mean, the thing is, he's gedood. He's doodgemaak. It's mortally means dead. Dead. Mortally wounded. And his deadly wound was healed. Now, because of this, there's much speculation that this Antichrist is actually going to be killed and then he's going to be raised from the dead again. Well, it's possible because the scripture says that in the end times there's going to be all sorts of deceiving signs and wonders that are going to be performed, that if it were possible, even the elect would be able to be deceived, if it were possible. So it's possible. But folks, you're going to hear this word. When it comes to Revelation and things like this, there's a lot of things that are speculation. What is speculation in Afrikaans? Spekulasie. Okay, so you're in photo. I knew that. I was just testing you guys. So it's just speculation. Speculation. Gaan ons nêrens bring nie. It's speculation. It does not say that the Antichrist is going to be dead and then raised from the dead. But it would be a clever trick because Satan can't create anything. He can only copy. He can copy. Guess what? Jesus was raised from the dead and other people too. So they're going to think, oh, well, this circus now raised from the dead. He must be God. He's proclaiming himself to be God. He's raised from the dead. He must be the Messiah. It's going to be a toepaslike ding om te doen in die tyd, an applicable thing, a relevant thing, but it's just speculation. It simply says, and we know, why do we say that? Because we know that the heads represent governments. So there's going to be the death of some government there or some leader. It is highly unlikely, although possible, it's not probable, that it's the Antichrist that will be raised from the dead. Once again, this is speculation and it doesn't get us anywhere. And it says, they worshipped the dragon. It's important to understand that Satan gets worshipped. And you think, ooh, well, it's already happening today. It's already happening today. You see, folks, when it comes to the truths of the Scripture, and this is not a racial thing, it's either black or white, right or wrong, life or death, blessing or cursing, God or the devil. There's no demilitarized zone, gray area, no man's land. That's it. Satan gets worshipped. Understand, folks, that it is a reality today. It's a reality today. People speak about all sorts of superstitions and things that are cursed and say, well, I don't believe in any of that stuff. Well, bless you, my brother or my sister. Whether you believe it or not, it's a reality. It exists. The spiritual realm, the spiritual dimension, dis werklikheid. If God could give us right now, in this moment, as we gather now, a glimpse into the spiritual realm, what's happening in terms of spiritual beings all around us, we would be completely amazed at what we see. So this is a reality. It's important to understand Satan gets worshipped as it's happening today. It's not a new thing. Satan gets worshipped. Repeating. Okay. Right. Then it says, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. It's important to understand the Antichrist. Who does he get his influence and power from? Satan. The Antichrist will be given supernatural ability to speak in such a way that people will be like, wow. He's going to be a supernaturally gifted orator, a man van gevleelde woorden, soos sê hulle. Know that his influence is directly from Satan. And is, well, how do, besides a t-shirt and a streetwise too from KFC, how do people get votes? Wie het gesê wat hulle sê? So, wie het gesê? Wat hulle sê? By speaking, you think, well, just look at the influence. Good or bad? Look at the influence there. How? By speaking. Hoekom? Spreuke 18 sê, 18 vers 20, 21, it's one of the many misquotes. Life and death in the power of the tongue. It doesn't say that. It says death and life. Hoekom? Ons is geneig om eerstens negatief te wees. Kyk, Suid-Afrika gaan soos whatever wees, of hierdie vervloekte land, of this God-forsaken country. Ons moet versigtig wees wat ons uitspreek oor hierdie land julle. So there, a supernaturally gifted orator under direct influence of Satan is going to speak. That's going to be this Antichrist. So he was given a mouth with speaking great things and blasphemies. He's going to be a supernaturally gifted speaker. Then it says, authority was given him over everybody say every tribe. Now you know what every means in the original Greek. That's it. Authority was given over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All. Do you know what all means here? It means all who dwell on the earth will worship him. But there's an interesting aspect that we're going to look at. It says every tongue, every tribe, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Because of this verse and others, Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17, others, many will believe that the Antichrist's reign will literally, physically be over every individual and nation during his reign. In other words, every single person that's alive at the time will be under his reign. That's not the case. It will not be possible for this to happen like that. Now, there are 15 different scriptural proofs to substantiate that statement, that not every single individual or nation alive at the time will be under the direct reign of the Antichrist. But for the sake of time, we're not going to give you all of that. I'll just give you one example that's most recent, uppermost in our minds. In Revelation 12, we see that the nation of Israel flees away from the Antichrist into the desert and gets taken care of by modern-day Arabs. Remember that? That's just one example. They will not be under the direct, they will be taken away, looked after by God under the hands of the modern day Arabs. Remember, we said that it is thought that it would possibly be in the rock city of Petra in the rocks. It's possible. That's just one instance. There are other instances where it speaks of people being punished for supporting Israel, etc. Well, how would they be able to give support to the nation of Israel if they're under direct influence and control of the Antichrist? And there's many, many examples. However, I'm not just going to leave you suspended. I encourage you, get your blessed assurance into a care group. And in the care group, Google a study from the Dakes Study Bible, Dake's, Dakes Study Bible. And the topic that you can Google there is the extent of the Antichrist's reign. The extent of the Antichrist's reign. And then obviously people are going to be martyred during that time as well, so they will not be under the direct influence. So, and in the context of here, where it says, why does it say all? Why does it say every? I'll give you the context of this to help you see that it's scripturally in balance. In the context of the tribulation, it means that everyone within the physical area of the Antichrist's reign will be subject to his rule. There will be peoples in nations elsewhere on the globe that will not be under the Antichrist's reign. I'll give an example. There are still places today, 2,000 years plus into the teaching and the reign of Jesus Christ, that have not yet received the gospel. That's with God's influence, the Holy Spirit's influence, Jesus' influence, and the church's influence, where that's still reached. So you're saying that the devil's going to get right to convince the whole world of a particular doctrine in a period of 3.5 years versus over 2,000 years? It's not possible. It's not possible. So, but there are many, like I said, there are 15 scriptural reasons that will help you understand this. Some people will differ. Like I said, there are different interpretations of that, but it is a physical impossibility for him to have a reign over every single individual in every single, just for example, the fact that the people of Israel would have escaped from this. Okay, then it says another beast. This gets interesting. This other beast here is the false prophet. The false prophet is already, unlike the Antichrist, that is yet to be manifested. According to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, the Antichrist is going to be the person that signs the peace treaty to bring peace in the Middle East. Right now, where there's war between Israel and Iran and all these other countries attacking Israel, the one who signs the peace treaty, according to the scripture, is the Antichrist. He has yet to be revealed. However, the false prophet is already very much so greatly at work in the world today. Where do we see that evidenced? Speak to me, church. Where do we see the workings of a false prophet? Speak to me, somebody. Come on. Okay. When I say where, good point. I don't mean the physical area, but in what ways do we see the false prophet working? In what ways? Huh? Yeah, churches, false doctrines, saying, you know, anything and anyone can be married, and Jesus is the archangel Michael, and all sorts of other cults and doctrines there, where they take some parts and passages of scripture and chop and change it to suit their needs, trying to take the message of God om by hulle leefwyse aan te pas. I'm trying to speak in English, but I'm thinking in Afrikaans. Verskoon my maar. In steede van hulle leefwyse aan te pas by dit wat geleer is in die woord van God. Dis die maklikste en die beste vir jou ewige saligheid. Is dit nie so nie, julle? So we see the false prophet with false doctrines, all sorts of things that are not in the scripture. One example, and I'm not going to use a name because it might be church. You know what? It's the scripture says you must expose false teachers. The Book of Mormons, for example. So it was Charles Rutherford, Judge Russell, the Russellites, Joseph Smith believed, this is the portion he got from Jesus that God forgot to include in the Bible, amongst other things, which says that he could have as many wives as he wanted. Dis daar maar gerieflik, nê? I don't know, Ahsoka's obviously never had an argument with a woman. I mean, how much more drama does he need in his life? How much more drama does he need in his life? Maar dit terzijde gesteld, the parts of the Bible that God forgot to give? Like, really? Guess what? There's churches. I can take you to those churches now. Now. And all sorts of things like that. It's crazy stuff, you know. They believe that the Holy Spirit is a force and not a person. And all sorts of meta. There's the evidence of the false prophet. False prophet. So we see this animal. That's the false prophet just spoken of, the second beast. Interesting. It says he has horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Horns like a lamb. One of the descriptions in 1 Peter speaks about your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Once again, a counterfeiter, a copycat, because he can do nothing original. Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's interesting that the false prophet looks like a lamb. What is a horn? A symbol of authority. Like a lamb. Horns like a lamb. In fact, if you see a lamb with horns, you already should be suspicious. Because the horns hoort nie op 'n lam nie. Is ek reg? Come on, man. Horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Notice the deception. Horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. Characteristics of so many ministers today. So many ministers today. You know, folks, I want to say this much. You know how the Jewish people, I'm going to say biblical times, we're in biblical times, but in the times we see spoken about in the scriptures, how they assess the prophet. First of all, when it comes to prophecies, you're a false prophet until such time that what you've spoken said will come to pass, comes to pass. Before it comes to pass, you're a false prophet because what you've said has not yet come to pass. Second of all, you might come with a doctrinally correct message or teaching, but if you did not come with a servant's attitude, you were a false prophet. You see, Isaiah chapter 11 speaks about the seven spirits. I just say, to make it easy to understand, the sevenfold anointing that is on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see how that is pictured in the lampstand that was in the tabernacle. They had seven candles burning, three this side, one in the middle, symbolic of that sevenfold anointing that is on Jesus. If you didn't come with an attitude of serving, even though your doctrine might be correct, you were considered a false prophet. So let's say, let me just bring this really close to home now. It's what ons meer kan vir enselwig. I might teach a message to you that is scripturally correct, but I leave this building and I'm going to treat my wife like trash. And my lifestyle in the week between Sundays is unscriptural. I'm a false prophet, a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass. Ek's net 'n groot bek met 'n mikrofoon. Nee, regtig julle. And the day, listen church, listen to what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. The day my lifestyle does not match up what I say, please, please, in the name of everything that is sacred, find another church. Find another church. You should not be sitting under my teaching if my lifestyle does not match what I say from the platform. Can I get a hearty, loud amen? Het julle gehoor, kerk? That's a false prophet. You make up your mind where you see such people. Okay. Can I make mistakes? Maar wat smutswillige nonsense is, nee, nee. Nee, 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 nee. When it comes to our Christian walk, nee. When it comes to Christianity, fruit is everything. And I'm not talking about a fruit salad, a banana and papaya and granadella and whatever your favorite. The fruit in a person's life. Do you see love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, self-control? Do you see those things? Do you see those things? And when you come and I'm going a little bit off course now, but I just sense this in my mind. Don't say, oh, you mustn't judge, you mustn't judge. People say, the Bible says you mustn't judge. It doesn't say you mustn't judge. It says you must judge. I'll tell you, we mustn't judge the world. That's God's job. We must judge each other. We must judge each other's fruit in each other's lives. When Jesus teaches about the plank and the speck, he says, take the plank out of your eye so that you can help your brother with a speck in his eye. We must judge. We must judge each other's fruit, but don't judge the world. Alas die wereld, dat hulle nog nie bekeer nie. That's God's job. Can we say amen? Okay. That was also for free. So that's this, yeah. So there's horns like a lamb, spoke like a dragon. That's the characteristics of this false prophet. Okay. The false prophet, it says he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs. He has incredible signs that he can also do. Listen to the things that the false prophet does, okay? The false prophet does the following. He commands the making of an image of the beast. Okay? So the false prophet says, let's make an image of the beast. You can relate to that. Give an example. Kom ons bou 'n nuwe kerkgebou. It's as easy as that. Yeah, people say, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Die boufonds is vir hierdie nuwe standbeeld wat ons gaan maak, 'n image. We're going to have a new Antichrist building fund. Julle lag, mense, dit gaan 'n werklikheid word. Dit gaan 'n werklikheid word. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. So he's going to command that this gets done. Okay? Command the making of the image. And then he empowers this image to speak. This statue, whatever, is going to be able to speak. How's it going to happen? Who knows? Is it going to be electronically with AI? I don't know. But it's going to, the technology is there to be able to do it anyway. You know, so, yeah, you don't even need satanic influence to be able to do it. It's going to command that this image gets built. And empower the image to speak, and he's going to command the worship of this image. Okay? Then he's going to command the death of those who do not worship the image. And then he's going to command the mark of the beast to be received. Now I'm starting to land, this plane is coming in now. Or the bike is coming in for a refuel if it's a 24-hour race or a pit stop. Okay? That's what this, what the false prophet does. And what he's going to be enabled to do. And it says here, a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. There are many speculations about what this mark will be and whose name it is. All right? All you need to do is to go onto the internet and Google microchip implant buying and selling or anything like that, and you'll see. In fact, Sweden today has thousands of people who have a microchip implanted in them by which they identify themselves and buy and sell and have access to certain places. Okay. So whether it's a microchip, it might be, who knows? I want to say this when it comes to the mark of the beast. Okay. And I'm going to tell you why I say this. So many speculations about what this is and whose name it is. People have said it's past emperors, past politicians, but all of that is in the past. It can't be any of those cats from the. It can't be Stalins and the Hitlers of the day, whoever, because they are historical characters. This Antichrist is still to be revealed. Okay, but besides all of that speculation and what the mark is and whose name it is, and who, all we know for sure that the number is 666. People have gone to see the numerical value of Hebrew letters, of Greek letters, and come up with all sorts of folks. Onthou daai woord, speculation. What we do know is that it's a number, and it says this. It says this. Of that, it says, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, his name is 666. So it will be the number of his name, or the mark of his name, 666. I want to say this to you. When it comes to the descriptions of the beast, why is all of this necessary? Why is it so graphic? Why is it so important in the scripture? And I believe what you see, remember LTS, we spoke about different glasses. The glasses that you have determine how you see God. You can either see God as a strict dictator, a righteous judge, afstandige individu, or you can see God as a loving father. Do you remember that? When you look through the glasses of the fact that God is a loving father, you will see that God, with his father heart, the father heart of love, wants us to understand the severity and the magnitude of what this is going to be like. God wants people to see. God wants people to understand. God wants people to get a clear picture of what it is going to be like under the reign and rule of the Antichrist. Why do we say that? The same thing. God showed this nature. God showed this heart when the people of Israel insisted on having a king. They wanted a king to rule over them instead of having a relationship with God that could be ministered through the priesthood. They wanted a king. And they said, we want a king. We want to be like the other nations. We want to be like the other nations. You see, what was the problem with that? Long gone, God had taken the people out of Egypt, but Egypt was still inside the people. Egypt is a physical place where they were, but it's also symbolic of a type of bondage and slavery and suffering and hardship. The people were taken out of Egypt. Egypt was still in their hearts. Remember, Pastor Moses was leading and they said, oh, we wish we were back in Israel. We could eat this, we could eat that. It is all wat lang gedink het. As who it was, instead of on what God had promised. They started whining and asking for a king. And God said, all right, I'm going to give you a king, but your king is going to be like this. He warned the people that King Saul is going to be like this. You see that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7 to 22. He warns them, your king is going to be like this. And they said, that's fine. Give us this king. That's why we have the descriptions of the beasts and the vivid imagery today that we can understand that God wants people to know. God wants people to understand. It's not just going to be the oppression of an autocratic leader that say, jy moet het doen because ek sê jy moet het doen. It's going to go from autocracy to theocracy. In other words, not only do you have to do what I say, you have to worship what I say you must worship, and you must worship me because I am God. God wants people to see. That's why it's so important. And then the other thing, now, what I'm saying to you now, this is Mozzie's thoughts. Is that okay with you? You know, there's a time in Scripture where Paul says, what I'm telling you, God hasn't told me to say this to you. But as somebody that is used of God, I, Paul, say this to you. Do you remember those passages in Scripture? So, God hasn't said this, but I, as Mozzie, who's used by God from time to time, say this to you. You don't have to receive a microchip or a tattoo or some electronic device or anything to receive the mark of the beast. If you're not born again, you, sir, ma'am, are already marked. You're already marked. Let that sink in. Did you get that? If your spirit has not been made new by the Spirit of God, and worry, ek praat nie van lidmaatskap, ek praat nie van a new members course, of a theologische diploma, of graad, of a doctorate. That's all great. All those things are wonderful. But if you're not born again, you're already marked. Why do I say that? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, and I end with this. It says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also you have, having believed, you were sealed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the next verse goes on to say why. So that we have the Holy Spirit was given to us as a guarantee. It's like a seal. Remember the Oud Tijdsedar, how they sealed the letter with that wax seal? You get sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the seal of the Holy Spirit on your life, you're already marked. Of jy microchip gekry het of nie. That's what I want to end with. An appeal to people to say, if you're not born again, Here's your opportunity to make your life right with God. Here's your opportunity to say, Lord, ek weet nie waar ek die ewige lewe gaan deurbring nie. I want to make right with God. I don't want to be under the rule of the Antichrist with this oppression. And if you're only catching up now at Revelation 13, jy moet sien wat se groot goggels daar is, wat losgelaat gaan word in hierdie tyd. It's crazy, julle. It's going to be immense pain and suffering where people are going to wish they could die. They're going to pray for death. And they're not going to be able to die. That's how much pain and suffering there is. So hier is hier ding van, maak hulle bang, so dat hulle tot bekering kom. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Get some wisdom and say, jy hoef nie 'n microchip te ontvang nie, julle. Of a barcode or whatever. If you're not born again, you're already mocked. You're already marked. Ek sê dit mee af. If you're sitting here this morning and you in any way unsure, you say, Mozzie, ek weet nie ek staan, ek weet nie waar ek staan in my saak met God nie. You've come to the perfect place. We want to give you an opportunity to make your life right with God. It's as simple as this. Believing that Jesus is who he says he is and repenting of sin. En ek praat nie van om te besef en bely dat sonde sonde is. That's just confession. I'm confessing that this is sin. Repentance means turning around, walking away, and choosing to live differently. That's what you need to be assured of salvation. Faith and repentance. So if you this morning, and you know if you're serious with God, I'm not going to beg people to be prayed for. It's between you and God, and it's not between you and me anyway. If you in any way unsure of your salvation, put up your hand. Anybody this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Anybody? Going once, going twice. Hallelujah. So we all have a sure, daar sê, Marnie, en die wonderlike paartjie voor. I want us to all pray this morning. We're going to pray together with them in our hearts. That's all it takes. And I'm going to ask one of the altar workers, Leonard, you can arrange either yourself, Percy, or someone else, Marnie, and ek het die vrou nog nie ontmoet nie, just to have somebody to pray with you, not interested in church membership, to pray with you, to help you understand what it's about. They want to give you a book called Knowing and Experiencing God, or Ken en Ervaar God. We all pray this in our hearts, for naam julle toe, and bless you for your faithfulness. Thank you for putting up your hand, because it's not about who thinks what, or who sees this luck. Lord, I'm unsure. I need help in this area. That's why we come to church. Can we say amen? Let's pray this all together and I'll say, Father God, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your love and I thank you for your grace. And Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God's Son. I believe that you died and rose from the dead. And your blood was shed to pay for my sins. I believe these things because the Bible tells me so. And I believe it. And now, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I accept responsibility for my sin. I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse me, wash me, make my spirit new again, born again, in Jesus' name. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you come into my life. I surrender my will to the Lordship of Jesus. And from today, I will do my best to live for Jesus all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Leonard, if you can please just make sure that folks hook up with them at the end of the service, we can get that done. Before we close, as per usual, leading up to the election, we're going to pray over the election every week. And this week, I'm just going to get Colette to pray for us. And remember, we will see each other, God willing, on Saturday, 3 o'clock here. We're just going to have a briefing and then pray over each other and go out for estate evangelism. Thank you for making the time to listen this morning, attentively come to learn church. May God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Colette, lead us in prayer. Thank you, Angel.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to pray and to stand in the gap for the elections, for our leaders and for the government. We pray, Lord, for a fair and a peaceful election. We ask for peace after the elections, for no uprisings, Lord, and for a restored economy. I ask, Lord, that people will vote and do what is expected of them as citizens of South Africa. Search our hearts, Lord, and remove the negative emotions that well up inside of us. May we speak positive over South Africa and the upcoming elections. Prior to and after elections, our calling and our purposes as believers and Christians remain the same: to love God, to love people, and to tell others of Jesus Christ. You, Lord, are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, irrespective of the government of the day. Just like the days of old, people went to Bethlehem to be counted. Elections must happen. So too, events and injustices happen. But when we read your word, we know why they are happening, signs of the times. Because every day brings us closer to the return of Jesus Christ, we pray that our eyes may be fixed and focused on you at all times. May we remain positive at this time for South Africa and all those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anyone else that would like to pray? Leon.
Elke Sondag as hierdie geleentheid kom, dan wil ek, maar dan denk ek nie, los het liever. Ek het so soort van vir myself een speech of iets gereheus wat ek wil sê, maar nou staan ek met die mic en ek pek vol tanden. As ek iets gaan sê wat nie reg is nie, mute die mic of laat Robert en die groot man en my mam hier uithaal. Dis dit iets wat ek net wil noem. Ek gaan nou iets sê wat allemaal wat in hierdie kerk is, en wat inluister wat everal met my gaan saamstem. Ons allemaal soek een God-fearing government. Amen, ek hoor die amens. Nou gaan ek iets sê wat baie mense in hierdie kerk en daar buiten nie met my gaan saamstem nie. Wees baie, baie voorzichtig waar jy jou kruisie gaan trek. Dit help nie ons bid vir een God-fearing government, maar ons trek ons kruisie by partye wat nie biblical values het nie. Wat weet jy van die party vir wie jy gaan stem? Daai plakkaat teen die lampaal? Gaan Google een bykie. Die gewilde partye, die ouwens wat elke election wen, of wat goeie oppositie is. Ek wil nie die mic misbruik vir political gain of niks nie. Ek wil net sê wat op my hart is, en soos Mosie gesê het, wat op my hart is, dis nie noodwendig wat in jylle hart is nie. Gaan Google bykie vir die partye vir wie jy stem. Wat is hulle values? Gaan kyk een bykie wat hierdie ouwens doen. Hulle is nie standpunt teenoor, en ek knok nie die mense nie, of die manier wat die mense hulle levens lei nie. Hulle neem nie standpunt teen abortie nie. Hulle neem nie standpunt teen same-sex marriages nie. Hulle neem standpunt teen baie goed, wat nie volgens, ek het eindelijk Bybel in my hand gehad, dit is ek hier staan. So wees versigtig waar jou kruisie gaan trek. Ek is bevoorregd gewees om in 'n huis groot te word sonder politieke waardes, maar om mense te respekteer en met biblical values. En ek het nog nooit, en ek wil nie myself, ek weet ek gebruik die woord ek het nog nooit by 'n voting booth uitgestap, wat ek gesê het, yes, hierdie jaar wen my party die election nie. Want ek weet ek stem vir 'n minority. Maar julle klomp Christen is in elk geval minority in hierdie land. Alhoewel, as somewhere along the line was daar 'n census gewees wat hulle gesê het, 70% van hierdie landse mense is Christene. Hoekom kom dit nie in die voting stations uit nie? Hoekom sit ons met die regering wat dan nie so is, as 70% van ons dan so is? Maar dit sê ek vir julle, as ek by 'n voting booth uitstap, dan het ek gerus, en ek weet, ek het nie my values en my biblical Christian values gecompromise, om die kruisie te trek by 'n party, net dat hulle in die hande kom he. Kom ons maak seker waar ons krisis trek. God is in beheer. Al lyk dit nie uit die voting elections of uit die campaigns as hulle die stemme tel. Al wen jou party nie. Maar God is nog steeds in beheer. As hy. Amen.
Thank you. Nog iemand wat wil bid? Okay, I think to sum that up, you have a choice to vote your political principles or Christian values. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Bless you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. Have a good day further. Thank you.
Dearest reader, we have been apart for far too long.
Miss you, Mom.
You say?
This was your mother's.
Thank you, Coco.
Your mother said I must give you this.